Take your Bibles, turn over to Joshua chapter 9. Joshua chapter 9. Joshua chapter 9, we're going to start down at verse 16. Good to be in the house of God. Glad you're here. As we start in verse 16, this chapter deals with deception. The key verse we read the other night is verse 15, where it says, Joshua made peace with them, made a league with them to let them live, and the princes of the congregation swear unto them. And we saw there's 27 verses, 800 exact words, all inspired by God, preserved forever in our King James Bible. This particular chapter to 7.9 grade level. And as we look tonight, starting at verse number 16, the Bible says, and it came to pass at the end of 3 days after they had made a league with them, that they heard they were their neighbors and that they dwelt among them. And the children of Israel journeyed and came unto their cities on the third day. Now their cities were Gibeon and Kephirah and Beeroth and Kirjath-Jearim. And the children of Israel smote them not, because the princes of the congregation had sworn unto them by the Lord God of Israel. And all the congregation murmured against the princes. But all the princes said unto all the congregation, we have sworn unto them by the Lord God of Israel. Now therefore we may not touch them. This we will do to them. We will even let them live, lest wrath be upon us because of the oath which we swear unto them. And the princes said unto them, let them live, but let them be hewers of wood and drawers of water, and all the congregation, as the princes had promised them. And Joshua called for them and spake unto them, saying, wherefore have ye beguiled us, saying, we are very far from you when you dwell among us? Now therefore ye are cursed, and there shall none of you be freed from being bondmen and hewers of wood and drawers of water for the house of my God. And they answered Joshua and said, because it was certainly told thy servants how that the Lord thy God commanded his servant Moses to give you all the land, to destroy all the inhabitants of the land from before you. Therefore we were sore afraid of our lives because of you, and have done this thing. And now, behold, we are in thine hand, as it seemeth good and right unto thee to do unto us, do. And so did he unto them, and delivered them out of the hand of the children of Israel, that they slew them not. And Joshua made them that day hewers of wood and drawers of water for the congregation and for the altar of the Lord, even unto this day, in the place which he should choose. As we look in the Word of God tonight, I want to preach to you on you got what you wanted. You got what you wanted. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, we love you. God, we thank you, Lord, for the time to be in the house of God. Thank you, Lord, for the blessings of being around God's people tonight. And I pray, God, that you'll help us, Lord God, and Lord, use our time together wisely, God. We pray, Lord God, for understanding of the Scriptures. We pray, Heavenly Father, Psalm 119, verse 18, open thou mine eyes, that I may behold wondrous things out of thy law. I pray, God, you'd give us that understanding, God, and you'd help us, Lord, apply it to our lives. Help me to preach tonight according to 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 2, to preach the word, be instant in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort, with all longsuffering and doctrine. And Lord, we thank you for everything you're going to do. In Jesus' name we pray, and for his sake, amen. As we look tonight in Joshua chapter 9, you've got what you wanted. The other part of that statement is you've lost what you've had. You've got what you wanted and lost what you've had. In this passage of Scripture, we read of how Joshua dealt with these deceivers. And the first thing we see is that we see the discovery of the deception. He says in verse 16, it came to pass at the end of 3 days after they had made that league there. Then on verse 17, the children of Israel journeyed and came into their cities on the third day. Now their cities were Gibeon and Kirjathah and Beeroth and Kirjath-Jearim. 3 days later, they found out who these people were. And the Bible tells us in verse 18, they smote them not because of the deal they had made with them and the league that they had sworn with them. But can I tell you something tonight? It's not wise to swear with people and make oaths. If you look over to Ecclesiastes chapter 5, I want to show you something here. Ecclesiastes chapter 5. Ecclesiastes chapter 5. If you get the Song of Solomon, take a lift. Ecclesiastes chapter 5, if you look down in verse 5, it says here, it says, better is it that thou shouldest not vow than thou shouldest vow and not pay. So he said in verse 19 back there, he told them, he said, we have sworn to them by the Lord God of Israel. And now, listen, you need to be careful about that, because they got a vow that they can't pay. And sometimes people get in a mess swearing vows about things and saying, I'll never do this, or I'll never do that, or I'll always do this, or I'll always do that. And then they come out and find out that that didn't work out quite that way. We've all had to eat a lot in our days with stuff we said we wasn't going to do.
Right.
Amen and amen. Ain't that right? We've had to eat it over and over again. They call that thing eating crow for a reason, because nobody likes crow. Amen. That's what that is. But I want to show you something. There's a thing tonight and about these deceivers is, why can't people admit they have been deceived? Why can't they admit that? It's a one-word answer, and it's spelled in all capital letters. It's called P-R-I-D-E. Usually when somebody gets caught and deceived by somebody, they'll never admit it. They'll keep going on and keep going on in life and act like it didn't happen and, all that stuff. Or maybe they can't admit they're wrong, much less when they've been deceived. But they'll say something along these lines. This is one of my favorites. Well, I knew that all along. I knew they were deceivers all along. They didn't have me fooled. Oh, they got you, but you knew it. Well, then you are the foolest of fools then. Because if you let somebody do that to you and you know what they are, that's just really sad. Look back over in Joshua chapter 9 over there. We'll get back over and stay in that. Joshua chapter 9, listen. Most people never admit they're wrong, much less they've been deceived. Or they'll say something along these lines. Oh, I knew what they were. I was just helping others not to get deceived. Well, what a great intercessor and hero you are. But I found out something about leadership. If you can never admit you're wrong, you'll never admit you're deceived, and you will constantly be deceived by people.
Right.
It'll constantly be the same thing over and over. Just like when these guys showed up, what'd they show up with? They didn't have their Gibeonite t-shirts on, did they? They had old clothes, old shoes, moldy bread. So we live a far away from here. But they wasn't. They were lying the whole time. They deceived those people. And they knew if they could get them to swear to their God that they wouldn't kill them, they couldn't kill them. Do you know that King Saul suffered for this very thing against these very people? Because he went and attacked Gibeonites in 2 Samuel 20. And in 2 Samuel 21, God brought that thing back to King Saul and brought it back on that kingdom for that. Because of a deal Joshua made that he should have never made. God means business when he makes these things out. I see also that this is why some folks have problems hanging on to ungodly things in their life that they've been deceived by. They'll never admit it. They will never admit it. They'll never admit these ungodly translations that go clear against Scripture. If this Bible says, now for a fact, it says, don't add to this book, don't take away from this book. Three places, Deuteronomy, Proverbs, and Revelation. You got one at the front door, one at the middle door, one at the back door. It says, don't fool with God's book. Well, when they get fooled by it, you know what they have to do then? They have to keep telling lies to cover up that thing. My Bible's just as good as your Bible, but they don't read their Bible. Well, mine's translated off better manuscripts. You don't even know what the manuscripts are. You've never laid eyes on them. And I see people come along and the ungodly affections that go clear against Scripture, if they've been deceived, they won't admit it. The one that's shacking up will keep saying this, God put us together. The sodomite will say, God made me this way, when it goes clearly against Scripture. There'll be ungodly decisions that go against Scripture. It's kind of like the people that come along and say, well, I can't do this. I've decided to do this, and I believe God told me to. Well, God didn't tell you that. If it goes against this book, God didn't tell you that. But you made ungodly decisions. You're going to hang on to them rather than admit you was deceived by somebody. I notice there'll be ungodly positions that go clear against Scripture. If you'll hold your place here, let's go to 1 Timothy chapter 3. I'm going to show you a couple of these. 1 Timothy chapter 3. I'm feeling in a charitable mood tonight. I got to be cut on tomorrow, so I'm going to cut tonight. Amen. First Timothy chapter 2. I want to show you two things. Verse number 12. It says this. But I suffer not a woman to teach, nor to usurp authority over the man, but to be in silence. For Adam was first formed, then Eve. And Adam was not deceived, but the woman being deceived was in the transgression. Notwithstanding, she shall be saved in childbearing if they continue in faith and charity and holiness with sobriety. What did he say the woman was not supposed to do? Not to teach or usurp authority over a man. Then you get down here to chapter 3. It says, this is a true saying, if a man desire the office of a bishop, he desireth a good work. A bishop's that dignified word for pastor there. And it says a bishop then must be blameless, the husband of one wife. And if you have somebody come along and tells you, well, that Greek reads both ways. No, it don't. It reads left to right just like English. And there is no both ways to that thing. There's not a Greek text, even the bad ones, that say anything different than that one. And I'll run one by even closer than that. There ain't a Bible translation on the market that I know of in English that says anything different than that. But yet the liberal crowd comes along, what do they say? Well, I ain't got a man to do it. We're going to put Susie in charge of it. And Susie comes up and leads us singing, God bless the tie that binds. And they said, she's not usurping authority. Well, she just told you to stand up. She just told you to turn your hymn books. She just told you to do all that. And then these sorry preachers ain't got a spine enough to set her back down. Amen and amen. Amen. What are they holding on to? Ungodly decisions to go clear against Scripture. And while I'm jumping, I'll go ahead and get them female preachers too, because I know y'all probably like half of them. Joyce Myers, that wicked devil with her unshaved legs and her foul mouth and all that other stuff. Let me tell you something. This Bible says the husband of one wife for the preacher. That has never changed. I heard a lady say one time on Channel 16, I was watching, she's a local preacher, pastor. She said, I've got to preach because none of y'all will get up and do it. And I found out, I met one of her members later. We was over at prison. I met one of her members, and I found out where her church was and where she lives. She had to drive by 15 churches with men in them to get there. Ain't like there wasn't one wouldn't do it. It wasn't like they wasn't too sorry they wasn't going to do it. Just because you got the gift of gab and got a loud mouth don't make you called to preach, man or woman. But Jesus said, if you love me, keep my commandments. If you love me, keep my commandments. What did he say? He said, lady, if you love me, he said, here it is, the husband, one wife. If you love me, let the man run it. He said, I know y'all can do it better, but if you love me, let the man do it, and he can tear it up. And you can sit there and be blameless on the whole thing. Don't that make you sleep better at night knowing I wrecked this thing and y'all never have to answer for it to be me? That'd make me feel better if I were you. Amen. I know it's tense and I know it's silent, but it's going to be okay because I'm going somewhere with this that you ain't expecting. I'd like to say this to all this stuff going on, these school shootings and everything you've been watching on TV last couple of days. I'd like to know if anybody remembers what the name of that school was that those kids were in, those 17 kids that got shot. You won't remember the name, but if you'll go look it up and look up that woman, boy, we reaped what we sowed and we donated and named these schools after wicked individuals. Ain't that something? I'll tell you something else for all Democrats that might or might not be listening, or you can figure this out. We need more gun laws. That's all I've heard. I've seen professional actors, children that were out there in California just a week ago doing, you know, we was in the school when this happened. Now they're out in Florida. We was in the school when this happened. Same actors. And they said this. They said, well, we need tighter gun laws. Can I tell y'all something tonight? That dude that shot them people in Florida broke 17 gun laws that I know of right off the top of my head every time he pulled the trigger. 17. What's another gun law going to do for this country? You know what I think we ought to do? Since we got all this technology and all this other stuff, maybe it would be wise, just maybe, now I'm just out of the box thinking here, maybe it'd be wise for us to say, you know what? Maybe our teachers need something in their hand, a stun gun, a pistol, a blackjack, or something. But that's right, you took away their paddle, so we can't expect you to give them a gun. God, what's happening to our schools? God says, I can't help you. They threw me out too. What we need in this country is a change of heart, not a change of fire drills.
Amen. Amen.
That's what we need. But you see, when you get the wrong people in charge, you get the wrong results of these things. And that's why we hang on these ungodly decisions, because we've made these things. We won't admit we're deceived. There's not a Republican or Democrat, independent or whatever else them parties are going to admit to the fact that they've made wrong decisions in doing this. There's not a person in South Carolina will admit voting for a woman for governor was wrong. So I voted for the lesser of two evils. You shouldn't vote it at all then. I'm tired of that business, that voting for the lesser of two evils. Listen, we need to go back to where the Word of God says do and stay there. And instead of saying, well, we made these ungodly decisions, we need to say, we were deceived. We were deceived. And another one that comes up, these ungodly positions like that, ungodly decisions, and you have these ungodly conventions, no matter what the denomination, it comes up, and then that thing gets corrupt, and we say, well, I'm fighting it to the end. You're not fighting at all. We pulled out of Southern Baptist Convention in 1999, and I had people tell me back then, they said, you know what, are you mad already? Don't run away. I ain't done yet. Thank you. Thank you so much. But I've had people come up and say, well, we're fighting it from the inside. And I've watched them for the last 20 years. They ain't fighting. They ain't fighting at all. Why, you let some liberal director of missions come to their church and they'll treat him like he's a crown king or something. Oh, come sit up here, brother. Bible correcting denies the first 11 chapters of Genesis, tied up with the Cooperative Baptist Fellowship that believe God's a woman, and they're trying to tell me they're fighting that. They don't even preach against it. They won't even preach against it. And this bunch that says, well, we gotta stand. We gotta stand on, we gotta have a hill on which to die. You won't even preach against sodomites. You won't preach against nothing. You won't preach against the lottery. You won't preach against any of that stuff. And you're sitting back being deceived, and you'll never admit your deception. Why? P-R-I-D-E. Five in the Bible is a number for death, and that pride kills a lot of people. I see that these ungodly addictions that go against Scripture. And when people have these ungodly addictions, I'm not talking about the folks that's fooled up with cocaine and heroin and methamphetamines and all that. We know that's ungodly, but these ungodly addictions I'm talking about are the ones that we go up here and beg our doctor to give us so we can get legally high and then talk about that crackhead and see how bad he is. Right. There's some folks tonight, listen, they got a conviction to God years ago. Tears started falling in their eyes. God started dealing with them. They run to their doctor. He has no idea what's going on with them, and they won't tell him, and he prescribed them something to get their nerves right. Now they got three other pills because of that. What are they doing? They got an ungodly addiction. There's some folks I know that personally that they traded their beer and liquor in on Xanaxes and Valiums. And they ain't changed yet. Yeah, you stopped drinking. Yeah, you stopped smoking dope. But now you've replaced that with pills. Amen and amen. Preacher, you're running well tonight. Amen. You got the whole crowd going tonight. Hey, listen, I'd rather fall in the line of saying I've gotten deceived than I'd rather fall in the line of saying, hey, they didn't have me. Yeah, they didn't have me. I knew the whole time. I was just playing along with the doctor. Really? Well, I see what Joshua did as a godly man and a godly leader. If you look down at verse 22 of Joshua chapter 9, and Joshua called for them, and he spake unto them, saying, wherefore have you beguiled us? Saying, we are very far from you when you dwell among us. And Joshua told him, he admitted what he had done. He denounced that deception and said this, now therefore ye are cursed, and there shall none of you be freed from being bondmen, and hewers of wood, and drawers of water for the house of my God. Now you think about what their job just got, their job description just changed. Instead of being free people, they will constantly have to be the ones that go out in them woods, chop down them trees, skin them limbs off, and get all the wood ready they need, and cut it down and have it ready for firewood, have it ready for houses, or whatever they need, and get this part, and never live in one of them houses they build. And he says also there, he said, you also going to be drawers of water. When we need water to flush the toilet down at the house of God, you going to go get us a gallon to bring it up here. If we want a little cool drink before the service, you going to go get it for us. If we need water to cook with back at the house, you're going to go get it. You say, what are they? They're bondmen. They'll never have their own place again. God's people will own that and own them. And it says here, and they answered Joshua, this is what they said, because it was certainly told thy servants how that the Lord thy God commanded Moses, commanded his servant Moses to give you all the land and destroy the inhabitants of land before you. Therefore we were sore afraid of our lives because of you and have done this thing. And he says, and now behold, we are in thine hand as it seemeth good and right unto thee to do unto us, do. So instead of going up to them and saying, look, we don't want to die. We'll get right with your God. We'll just trick you instead. And Joshua, rather than sit back and acting like nothing's happened, I knew it all along, or called him brother he just, or something like that. Instead of doing all that, he says this. And it says, verse 26, "And so he did unto them, and delivered them out of the hand of the children of Israel, that they slew them not." You got what you wanted. You got exactly what you wanted. But, "And Joshua made them that day hewers of wood and drawers of water for the congregation, for the altar of the Lord, even unto this day in the place which he should choose." They got what they wanted, but they lost everything they had. Be careful about these deceivers. That's what they're going after. What you got to do is, like Joshua, you got to admit you've been deceived. When you denounce yourself as being the Almighty and all-knowing, and nobody fools you, you're just the smartest and cutest one, and you say, "You know what? I got had. Not they did it to me, I got had." The best way to deal with deception is, number one, admit who got deceived, and if it's you, come clean with yourself. A lot of folks carry a lot of things over the years, but listen, you can confess that pride as a S-I-N sin, call that thing out to God as an S-I-N sin, ask Him to forgive you of it, and He will. We got a written contract with God in 1 John chapter 1, verse 9. If we confess our sins, He is faithful just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And when we come to Him on those terms, God forgives by the blood of Jesus on that. This is after you're saved. Why is that? Because God is a forgiving God. You're not all-knowing. You can't figure it all out. And there'll always be somebody who'll have your number. There's some of you right now sitting at home with a vacuum cleaner that's got $700 a month payments because somebody deceived you with that thing. There's some of y'all sitting here tonight, listen, you so far up in credit card debt because that guy at Walmart was just so cute when he's giving out the applications. Oh, look at him, he's cute. I'll sign one of them. What about it to sign for? There's some of you right now, you've got into a mess because somebody deceived you, and you won't admit you deceived. Admit you deceived. You say, then all of y'all know it. You don't have to tell us, you got to tell Him. See, that's the problem. We already know it. Because every fault you got, everybody else in this church can see it. Everybody you work with can see it. But see, you can't see it because you're P-R-I-D-E. Oh, they ain't got me. They ain't got the cat. The cat's still going. No, the cat just got shot. You working on life number two now, cat. Got eight more left, right? Look at this. Remember what happened to you when this thing happens and you confess that thing is sin. Remember what happened, not in bitterness, but to be able to discern and not let the same thing happen over and over to you. All right, let me tell you this. If somebody come to your door tomorrow, late teens, early 20s, had a backpack, and they said this, "We're selling magazine subscriptions for college." Have enough discernment to realize they may or may not be doing that. You know, I saw last week, and I just had to question it, and you know me about fundraisers. I hate them. If it's not something for somebody for cancer or something like that, I'm against it. Flat out against it. If you don't keep the house of God up, donate the money to the house of God, that'll keep the power bill on. But when I saw two people in McDonald's, I believe it was, at 9:30 at night, "You want to buy some donuts from our church?" How many church people go out at 9:30 at night to sell donuts? Zero. So what'd you do? I discerned them. Discerning is this. You look at what they are and what they're saying and see if it matches up with the facts and the truth of the matter. Even these churches around here that do fundraisers, they don't go out at 9:30 at night to do them. But when you're wearing clothes so tight, if you had a quarter, we could tell whether it's on heads or tails, and you look like a prostitute, and you come in to sell donuts, I know what you are. You ain't no church lady. You a lady of the evening. That's why you out at that time of night doing that, trying to solicit. Some of you, bless God, you bought a set. That's why you trembling right where you at tonight. Listen, I don't want their 10-day-old stale donuts. I don't want anything else they got to sell. But you got to have some discernment about you when these people come in. You say, ain't that a gift in the Bible? 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 10, a discerning of those spirits. You got to figure that thing out by what you already know. And if you ain't got no knowledge, ask God to give you some knowledge to help you with it. How many of you be likely to buy some donuts tonight when you leave here from somebody at 9:30, 10 o'clock at night? Oh, he's selling for church. You know what I asked a fellow one time? He was up there at Pete's. He come in, he said, I'm selling donuts right before they close at 9 o'clock. I said, let me ask you a question. He said, I said, what church you go to? He said, I go to such and such, such and such. Okay. I said, let me check on that. I got internet at my fingertips. Everybody does. These smartphones. No church like that existed. I may not know all the churches and all the preachers, but if you got a phone number, I can find you. If you got an address, we can find you. See, we went from being, we've been there for 10 years. We just opened up last week. Are you 10 years last week? So what'd you do? I discerned, man. Hey, I looked at all the facts. I looked at the clotted shoes. I looked at the worn out garments. I said, you're Gibeonite. You're not what you say you are. That's what you've got to do. Or somebody will beat you out of everything you got. Hey, listen. When you got a discerning of spirits, I want to show you something else. 1 Corinthians chapter 2. 1 Corinthians chapter 2. Show you a couple things and we'll head on in. 1 Corinthians chapter 2. If you look down at verse 14, this is all about discernment now. Discernment ain't this mystical thing where you go up and shake somebody's hand and you feel the vibe, man. Ooh, I can tell. I can tell. You're from Florida. Come on. I already knew that. I come up to somebody and say, oh, wait a minute. You got a friend named Dean. I already knew that. That's not a gift of discernment. That's something I already knew. And a lot of times these people are trying to play you for something. They already know things about you, and that's why they're going to play you. And you're going to think, oh, they got that gift. They've got a gift from God. It's like a man told me, went up there at the hospital one time to visit somebody, and I had him shake hands with me. He claimed he had all this spiritual discernment. He shook hands with this guy. I said, what kind of guy you think that was in there? He said, well, that's a good man. I said, that's a good man. I said, could you discern that and feel that? He said, I could discern that and feel that. But then when I told him that guy was a convicted child molester and they had him up on 3 counts and he's probably going to be in prison for the rest of his life. Well, I knew when I touched him as something. Yeah, that's called the doctrine of lying. People don't have that kind of gift. I had a fellow approach me up one time at a camp meeting. He looked at me and he said, I can discern you by looking at you. I said, well, how much money have I got in my pocket? He said, don't work like that. I said, you ain't got it. Where's the bookmarker at in my Bible? That should be easy for a gift. So I don't buy into that stuff. Because I go to the Word of God to see where it's at. Here's where it's at. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 14. But the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him. Neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. When you go looking at things through that lens right there, through the Spirit of God, and looking for things to be spiritually discerned, you're taking the Scripture and you're looking to see if it lines up with the book. Does it line up with the book? Why is there all these English Bible translations? Because people are not doing this by the Spirit of God no more. They're looking at it through intellect. They're looking at it through, I don't know, maybe there's something about money in it where they can make more money if they come out with another one ever so often. But I see this, they're spiritually discerned. So how would you know? Well, if you've got a spiritual book, and this over here says a spiritual book, and you compare the two, and this one leaves out 64,000 words, then this one ain't as spiritual as this one. If this one leaves out verses everywhere, and this one don't, this one ain't as spiritual as this one. You got what I'm saying? If they say they're translated off the oldest and best manuscripts, put up or shut up. Where are they at? And can you read them? Now, see, listen. I see people tell me all this stuff. They say, well, we've got this, we've got this scholarship. God never required scholarship of any apostle. The Son of God never preached scholarship, but he did preach Scripture. And Scripture being the final authority. See, Adam Clark's commentary and Warren Wiersbe, they don't have authority over God's book. God's book's still the final authority. Now notice this here. You look over at Hebrews chapter 5. Hebrews chapter 5. Hebrews chapter 5. Talking about the denunciation of these deceivers. Hebrews chapter 5. If you look down at verse 11, here's what God says about discernment and things like this. Of whom we have many things to say and hard to be uttered, seeing ye are dull of hearing. How'd they get dull of hearing? Well, I don't know. You tell me, how'd you get dull of hearing? Look at this, verse 12. For the time you ought to be teachers, ye have need that one teach you again, which be the first principles of the oracles of God, and are become such as have need of milk and not of strong meat. What happened to them? They should be teaching people the Bible instead of having to learn the Bible. What happened? They got dull of hearing. The hearing got dull. When the hearing got dull, their discernment got low. They got deceived. They're in a mess. They don't know what to do. It says in verse 13, for everyone that useth milk is unskillful in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. Why is these churches in so much problem today? Because there's too many in there having to have their diapers changed. It should be changing the diapers. Too many babies. And I don't mean the little tykes that's under 2 years old. I mean you adult babies. All time having a mess somewhere. All time he took my toys. She done this to me. And all they pulled my hair. Well, cut it all off. You won't have to worry about it. Listen, I see all this stuff going on. And why? Because they're going back to the milk instead of heading over here to the meat. Now watch this. But strong meat, verse 14, belongeth to them that are of a full age. Even those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. What do you do with that discernment? You denounce that crowd that's this playing for a fool and taking all your money and doing all this other stuff and trying to muscle in and take your church. There was a church here in town a while back. Their pastor resigned. They were looking for a pastor. They had 8 members and about $100,000 building and nice carpet and pews and all that and a gym. And this church down the road showed up one night, 80 members of them. They said, we'd like to join your church. And they were just so glad to have more people, they let them all join that night. Well, the next week, the pastors at the other church, them 80 people stood up and said, I make a motion we vote Pastor such and such as pastor here. 8 voted against him, but it was too late. 80 voted for him. So what did he do? They stole that church from them people. Stole it. I mean, walked in the door 1 week, joined, and the next week stole the thing from them. Changed the name of it, everything. All of a sudden, that outfit is down the road, is now up here in a brand new building. Didn't even have to go in a building program. I promise you, God will meet him with that thing one day. I wouldn't do that to anybody. I've seen people come in and try to act like they're in a mess and all this other stuff, and people don't discern them, or they just plead ignorance. God don't want you pleading ignorance. He says to be a discerner, both good and evil. When you listen, when God give you this book and he's give you the Holy Spirit of God to show you things is wonderful that you don't know not, and you go in here and you take in this book and you get skilled in the Word of God, it's there so you can have discerned where you can discern good and evil. I've had one too many people tell me that belong to cults, well, I just give my money and I'll let God handle it. No, God put you there to handle it. He put you there to handle it. Well, if they do something wrong with it, that's on them. No, it's on you. It's on you. You can tell you a little secret tonight that'll help you out a whole lot. Even these senators and congressmen have to publicly give you their phone number so you can call them as a voter. Some of you call Lindsey Graham and tell him he's lost his mind. He needs to step down. Amen. Or at least come clean and tell us all he's been a Democrat the whole time. He's a liberal, I know that. Mm-hmm. Somebody call out in Arizona and tell McCain he's a liberal too, by the way. Somebody call these people out for what they are and tell them this. Tell them, listen, hey, we're tired of it. We're the voters. We're paying you. And I'm not going to throw my money into a hole anymore. I'm telling you straight up, Senator, we need to do this. They work for you. Amen and amen. Hey, listen, don't sit back and take this stuff idly. Discern between good and evil and do what's right. If anybody tonight would just take, for instance, say, well, you know what? I'm going to take this thing and I'm going to do right. And I'm going to start discerning both good and evil, asking God to help me, show me through the Word of God. I promise you this, God will start showing you things and helping you out. It would get better. I promise you that. Listen, let's stand tonight with every head.